Peter's original name?
Simon.
Simon. He's referred to as Simon, Simon Peter, or Peter. And we're going to learn more about that tonight as we start into our study, which I seem to have lost my glasses. Are those them right there?
Woo! At least the right prescription.
Are those yours, Mr. Yeah, he's a okay, well, you know what? Thank you. I'll look at it. Who comes to my rescue?
Oh, great.
Wow. Almost to my rescue. Let's try another one. Let's try another one. Oh, Mr. D, I'll take yours. What do we run? 2.0s?
These things are shallow.
I'm going to give it a try.
Let me see.
Those are good. Wow. I kind of take on your whole persona. I like it. I like it. Forget about it, all right? It's my buddy Jim. I love it. Picking up where we left off last week, we have Jesus making this all-important appointment with his disciples at the Sea of Galilee. Last week, we saw that Jesus used the fishing miracle event. He used that as a teaching lesson, which was designed to enlighten and to encourage his disciples in their ministry. We studied all that last week. By the way, that is going to the website. We got the message up from 2 weeks ago. This will be heading there. I know the audio will definitely be up, so you'll have that to listen to. Now, in this teaching moment that Jesus has on the Sea of Galilee, which he called to make happen, he explained what the toils and what the results of ministry would be like on this side of eternity. And then he also explained to them what heaven's take was on all the ministry efforts that they're going to have. So you can see that Jesus' emphasis on preparing the disciples to grab hold of the reins of his ministry, since he's going to be leaving, that this is happening throughout the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. He is really focusing on this, getting the disciples ready. They have to take over. And these are not, you know, PhDs and super learned men. These are guys who are going to be powered by the Holy Spirit to do what God is calling them to do. These 11 men, they will replace and have a 12th, and then I'll have Paul later. They're going to start the church, which we're here a part of today. You can, as we pick up our story tonight, we're still at that Sea of Galilee, all right? He's done the thing where he's had them catch the amazing catch of fish, and then Jesus and his disciples are now sitting on the beach, right? They're sitting on a beach, and they're at a fire, a little campfire that Jesus has prepared, and they are feasting on the fish, first of all, that Jesus brought to the breakfast, and also the fresh fish that the disciples have just caught. And obviously, they were talking when Jesus, in front of all of them, turns to Peter. He turns to Peter, and he addresses him. Here's what happens. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep." A third time, he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Well, Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and you went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands. Others will dress you and take you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to let him know what kind of death he would glorify God with. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me." Peter turned. And he saw behind them the disciple Jesus loved, the one who was leaning over on Jesus during the supper and who had asked, "Lord, who will betray you?" He's talking about John. Peter asked Jesus, "What about him, Lord?" And Jesus replied, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, What is that to you? As for you, follow me. Now, we know in our study, in the Walking Dead study, Jesus has already had a meeting with Peter. It was a very private, personal meeting with Peter that we are not privy to. We're just told twice in the Bible that Jesus met with him. We're not privy to that conversation. What we do know is that this second encounter, this second talk with Peter, is all about Jesus restoring Peter to go do ministry. More correctly, he wants to restore Peter to the head of the group. He wants him to be the leader of the ministry pack. So here at this campfire breakfast, Jesus three times asks Peter about his devotion to Jesus. Now, the first thing we need to recognize that won't come out in the English version, but will come out in the Greek, the first thing we need to recognize is that Jesus and Peter, in this conversation, use two different words for love. There are two different words that are used here. We're going to understand them as we go through them. Originally, Jesus asks Peter in the first two questions, do you agape me? Agape means love, right? But agape means this type of love, a self-sacrificial type of love. It's the kind of love that says, I want the best for you at my own expense. That's agape love. Jesus is asking Peter, do you want the best for me, Peter, even at the cost of the investment you have in these boats? Even over your love of fishing? Even over your chosen life and profession on the sea? Simon, do you want the best for me, even at that cost? Peter's response to him is, Jesus, you know that I love you like a brother. How do we get that? He uses a different word for love. He doesn't say, I agape you. He says, I phileo you. Phileo is the word we get Philadelphia from, brotherly love. Phileo is the kind of love that you would have between a brother and a sister. Phileo love is not the same as agape love. Agape love is self-sacrificial. Remember, Jesus' whole focus in this conversation is to hand off his ministry to the disciples. So here, at this fire, Jesus asks Peter, will you give up? Will you sacrifice everything that you love to do and everything you rely on for a living so that you can do what I want you to do? Well, for Peter, this is a monumental question. After all, the last time Peter and Jesus had a campfire between them, Peter had sworn, remember this is the night where Jesus was betrayed, Peter swore across a campfire as Jesus was there. He swore, I don't even know Jesus. I have nothing to do with him. He even cursed about it. Here at this fire, Jesus puts Peter at the crossroads of two callings. The first, Peter's calling to fish for a living, and Jesus' calling for Peter to fish for souls. When Jesus calls Peter to agape love, he is calling Peter to a very weighty commitment. Peter, on the other hand, is very careful. He's careful and he hesitates to declare his ability to commit. He is not so brash like he was. He is not so brash as to assert his willingness to sacrifice. And so he responds to Jesus' question, do you agape me? Do you want the best for me at your own expense? He asserts only his affection for Jesus. I love you like a brother. You see, gang, feelings and affections are not commitments. Feelings and affections can change. Commitments, though, they, on the other hand, they are solid and unchanging when we make a commitment. In fact, marriages that are entered into on feelings and affections, if that's all you've got, that alone, that'll only last as long as the feelings and the affections are good. When the feelings fade, so will the marriage. Jesus knows this, and it's quite common for people to have affection for Jesus, to like Jesus, even to promote Jesus to others, and yet not be committed to obeying Christ and not being committed to following his word. We can have affection and be very fond of the idea of getting to go to heaven on the wings of Jesus, but that doesn't mean that we're committed to Jesus charting our course all the way from here to heaven. We can have brotherly love. We can have the phileo love that Peter spoke of. We can have that towards Jesus when we need his help and when we go running to him in prayer. But are we committed to speaking to him regularly and taking faith when things don't go as we wish they had? We can feel a kindred spirit with Jesus when he warms our hearts in worship and sends us out into a sunny day of fellowship with one another. But are we committed when the rains come and when the trials buffet our life? Jesus' commitment question, the "Do you agape love me?" that asks this: when our hearts are troubled and when we run for refuge, will our actions and our beliefs, will they default to a time before we knew Jesus? Will we default to fishing? Or will we default to Jesus' instruction and the calling that he has for us? Jesus' question to Peter was, "Do you want the best for me, even at your own expense, even if it costs you the investment you put in these boats, even over your love for fishing, and even over your chosen life on the sea?" Peter's response to him was, "I love you like a brother." So Jesus asks him a second time, "Simon, do you agape me? Do you have self-sacrificial love for me?" And again, Peter's response is, "Yes, I love you. I love you like a brother." It is important to note that Jesus does not refer to Peter by the name that Jesus himself had given him in Matthew 16. Jesus had changed Simon's name to Peter. Peter meant the rock. Instead, here in this conversation, Jesus doesn't call him that. He reverts back to calling him Simon, the one who was the fisherman before he had dedicated himself to following Christ's ministry lead. It is since Jesus' arrest, Peter had stopped all ministering, and he had even regressed back to the fisherman that he once was. Peter is the one in this passage who decides to go fishing the previous evening, pulling all the others along with him. Jesus' goal with these commitment questions is to thrust Peter back to the calling he was destined for. Jesus is saying, "Simon, the fisherman, are you ready to commit your life to being Peter, my church's foundation, my rock?" But again, this second time, Peter responds with, "Yes, Lord, you know I phileo love you." That's the love I have for a brother. No doubt, Peter had the three denials of Christ on his mind, the three times he said at that campfire when Jesus was standing trial that he didn't know Jesus. That had to be on Peter's mind. And so Jesus asks a third time, But this time, Jesus switches up the words. And he uses Peter's word. The word phileo. He says, Simon, do you love me like a brother? Basically, are you my friend? Never once in this conversation did Peter use the word agape. Peter never committed to a self-sacrificing love. Never once did Peter boast or insist that he would want the best for Jesus at his own expense. Peter refused to give that guarantee, and he refused to commit to saying, I will be that forever. You see, Peter's days of shouting his unswerving allegiance to Jesus were over. He had great affection for Jesus, and he desired to do all God called him to do, but he was not foolish enough to boast on how far he would go for Jesus. He had done that before, and he had gone bust. Peter had learned that bragging is best done with one's actions. Peter would not be so foolish as to again promise something that he would one day not deliver on. And that's why Jesus does something very cool right here. He informs brotherly love Peter that Peter would indeed agape Jesus. Peter would indeed stay committed and true to this commitment of wanting the best for Jesus at his own expense. Jesus tells Peter in front of everybody, he tells all of them sitting around the campfire this: I tell you the truth. When you were young, Peter, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and you went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands. Others will dress you and take you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, follow me. We don't know how Peter died according to the Bible. Church history says, which is not the Bible, church history, the traditions of the church, say that Peter indeed did die. He stayed committed. And when it was his turn, when they wanted to kill him, crucify him, Peter said, I'm not worthy to die the same death as my Savior. When you crucify me, do it upside down. And Peter, according to church history, was crucified upside down. He had followed Christ all the way. He wasn't ready to make the commitment with word, but he made the commitment with his heart. In actuality, Peter could have answered Jesus' question, yes, I do agape love you, Jesus, and I will continue to agape love you. But instead, a much more humble Peter let the rest of his life answer that question for him. Peter really never faltered again. The Holy Spirit changed him and it powered him. Jesus is telling Peter, you will follow me to the very end, to your death. It took Jesus 3 probing questions, but with those questions, he had his rock back. Okay, we've done a thorough job of looking at the questions that Jesus addressed Simon Peter, but what was Jesus' charge to Peter each time he asked him those questions? Let's not ignore that. If Peter did love Jesus, then what did Jesus want Peter to do? Let me help you out with your outlines here. We're going to fill in these real quick and then we'll go through them. The 3 charges are this: feed, parentheses, pasture my lambs. The second, tend, shepherd my sheep. And the third, feed, pasture my sheep. Okay? What is going on here? Each time Jesus asks him, do you love me? He gives him one of these charges. Jesus is not just using any sheep and any shepherding terminology willy-nilly here. Jesus is being specific. First, he tells Peter, if he loves him, He wants him to feed and nourish and lead the young to the right pastures. What Jesus is talking about here is he's talking about the foundational Christian beliefs that have to be fed to the infant believer. He wants Peter to pasture the lambs. He wants to take them to where they will learn the truth, teach them the incredible preliminary truths that set them on the path of living rightly for Jesus. That's the first thing he asks them to do, to pasture the young, get them to eat what's right. The second thing, Jesus calls Peter to shepherd the sheep. We're done with the lambs, now he moves on to the sheep. Shepherd the sheep. Here Jesus is talking about caring for people, shepherding them, investing in them, sharing in their lives. This is the day-to-day shepherding. It is the involvement in people and a life lived among the people. It is the pastoring part that he wants Peter to do. You have to care for them, invest in them, be among them. They are your sheep, and you are to care for them. Now, if I had a dollar for every Bible student who wanted to skip the tending the sheep part in Bible college, if they wanted to skip this and just become a big-time conference speaker, if I had a dollar for every one of those Bible students in Bible college, I'd be rich. But this charge that Jesus is giving Peter is not to go become a conference speaker where you drop your bomb and have nothing to do with the people and go. Instead, Jesus calling him, get into their lives. Get into what they do. Know them. Be with them. Love them. Experience them. What does a shepherd do with his sheep? He walks among his sheep. He knows them. That's what Jesus is calling him to do with that second charge. The third charge, Jesus calls Peter to feed the sheep. Feed the people the truth and feed them the right nourishment. It's the same word he used earlier for the lambs. Pasturing the lambs, getting them to the right pasture. By now, it is aimed at the grown adult sheep Jesus wants him to pasture. Give them the truth. Two times, Jesus focuses on what the sheep or the lambs are to feed on. Two times. Let's make this plain so that we all know what the good pasture is, what we are to feed on. We must feed on God's word. We are to feed on the written word of God that he left us. That's what he left us to go on. What we nourish our souls with is the Bible. The pastors, the teachers, their job is to explain and impart the word of God to the sheep. That's putting them in the right pasture. It is a thrill for me. It is a thrill. If I go to Facebook and I see one of our people share a verse that they were reading, or when they post a biblical truth. I saw one recently where the person snapped the verse with their phone right out of the Bible they were reading. You can tell, they just snapped it with their phone and put it on Facebook. I smiled ear to ear because I knew that sheep is eating in the right pasture. They're doing just what they're supposed to be doing. Excellent. Jesus says to Peter, if you love me, find, feed, and tend my sheep. Now, for some people, God has used this passage to call them into ministry. I know individuals who have read these very words, Peter's interaction with Jesus, and said, I want the best for Jesus at my own expense. I love Jesus that way. And they felt compelled by the Spirit to be that person like Peter who finds and feeds and tends God's sheep. The Bible says that that is a noble calling. And if you feel that way, if that's something you're feeling, you feel like God's voice is saying that to you, I encourage you to investigate that avenue. Investigate it. Take the next step. Volunteer here at church. See if that leads you to a Bible college. That's what happened for me. Just volunteering to drive a van to take kids to a softball game put me in Bible college and then into a church. But God also uses this verse. He also uses this passage to pull others' hearts to do something they haven't done or something they haven't been doing. Like feeding more on God's word. Going and buying a Bible and then reading it. Get a New Living Translation. If you don't have a Bible, you will understand a New Living Translation and start reading it. If you don't know where to start, come see me. I'll easily put you in where to start reading. He's saying, feed the sheep, put them in the pasture. We need to be eating properly. Maybe God uses this verse to have you sign up for a slot at the fair. Maybe you haven't signed up, never done a time at the fair before. Oh, you can handle it. You'll do just fine. Come to the fair and help feed God's sheep. Help find them. Or God can use it to have you start a relationship with a neighbor or a coworker. Each one of us has a job. Each one of us has a ministry. Each one of us has a mission that God wants us to do. That leads us nicely to our last point. The last point is this. Let's read it. Peter turned around and he saw behind him the disciple Jesus loved. We know that's John. The one who had leaned over to Jesus during the supper and asked, Lord, who will betray you? So Peter asked Jesus, what about him, Lord? And Jesus replied, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. Here is an incredibly direct, no misunderstanding it, counsel from Jesus Christ. Peter gets his eyes off of what God is telling him to do and instead gets his eyes onto what someone else should be doing for Jesus. Bear in mind here, Peter is not trying to help his friend John get some career advice from Jesus. This is someone, Peter, getting their eyes off of what God is telling them to do and onto what someone else is either doing or not doing. Oh, how the church today needs to accept and live Jesus' words right here. The ones that say, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. There should be none of this. You know what they're doing at the church down the street? What is that to you? As for you, you follow me. Well, I think Joel Osteen should, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. You know that person over there? They're going to a Christian college. That person over there is going to say, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. What Jesus is saying here is that we need to focus our attention on what God has given us to do. Paul says the same thing in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. He says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The point is this, and it's on your outline. Focus on your job, not others' jobs. Don't worry, gang, about the troubles you see in someone else's life. Worry about the myriad of troubles you have in your life. Don't look at the speck of dust in your neighbor's eye when you got a log sticking out of yours. The ones who focus on the work and on their holiness and their obedience to God do way better than the ones that look at others and try to work out that person's salvation for them. Peter wanted to know what John was going to be doing. And Jesus said, worry about what I told you to do. I'll take care of him. I hope now you can see why Jesus would schedule this appointment at the Sea of Galilee almost immediately after he stepped out of the tomb on Easter Sunday morning. This is a vital event. It is a powerful wake-up call to the disciples and to Peter and to us. I'm going to ask the band and the worship leaders to come on back. And as we do, I want you to picture yourself. Picture yourself on the sand, next to a sea with Jesus. Birds are flying overhead. The sound of the waves can be heard, licking the shore. A soft summer breeze is moving your hair a little bit. You're sitting next to a fire that's slowly crackling. You can smell the fish cooking on it, and you're eating a hot picnic that's prepared by Jesus. The sun is on your face. The sand is between your toes, the crackle of the fire. The sun is just starting to rise in the sky. Seagulls are screeching into the air. And then Jesus breaks that moment. He locks eyes with you. And he asks you, "Do you love me? And do you love me more than anything else?" As we worship, let's tell God our answer.